Dr. Boozy is an associate professor and director of social services at the Baylor College of Medicine Teen Health Clinic. She oversees social service provision for a countywide system of 7 clinics that provide reproductive health care services to inner city adolescents. She's going to describe opportunities for involving engaging males in pregnancy prevention and prenatal programs in her talk, Male Participation in Pregnancy Prevention Initiatives. Dr. Boozy.
Good afternoon, everybody. And I will share with you some of our experience in Houston, Texas. And I'm sure that you can tell right away that I'm from Texas based on my accent. So we do not have good data about the number of young fathers we have in our community, but rates of teenage pregnancy is really a good proxy for that. And we know that in 2010, Texas had the fourth highest teen pregnancy rate in the United States, with 88 pregnancies per 1,000 teenage females ages 15 to 19. Also, a study that was done on 100 of the United States' large cities ranked Houston in the last quarter with a score of 18 in terms of high teenage pregnancy rate. So we know that teenage pregnancy is a significant problem in our community. Project Passport is a new AFL, Adolescent Family Life Project, that was funded a year ago. So this is our second year of existence. The goal is to enroll a total of 360 pregnant females ages 15 to 18 during the five-year project. We are using a quasi-experimental design to assess the effectiveness of the program, and group assignment is based on geographic location and proximity to the intervention sites. This is a longitudinal study design, and participants will complete assessments at intake and then at 3, 6, 12, and 18 months, and then again at 2 years following delivery. The goals of Project Passport are to reduce repeat pregnancies, depression, and intimate partner violence. As you all heard, you know, those are some issues that teens really struggle with, and increase infant immunization, educational attainment, and involvement of the father of the baby or family if the father of the baby is unavailable. Project Passport has two arms. The ENHANCE care includes centering pregnancy and positive youth development, male and family involvement, and postpartum parenting education. The standard care will include case management services and the 10 core services, which is basically refers for a variety of educational, health, and psychosocial services. Centering pregnancy is a group model of prenatal care, and it replaces a more conventional prenatal care model. It includes 10 two-hour group sessions where pregnant women are matched based on their due date, and they will receive the following components: various assessments, education, and support. Females also participate in self-care activities such as taking their blood pressure, monitoring their weight, and they do it every time they come for a visit. Information is provided on nutrition, exercise, relaxation, childbirth, postpartum issues, communications and self-esteem, sexuality, and abuse issues. Project Passport has a male component, and the purpose is to engage 108 expectant fathers in the ENHANCE care group during the five-year project, and this will be about 60% of partners. Males have access to a male facilitator to help with referrals for various forms of assistance. Our hypothesis is that pregnant teens whose partners will participate in centering pregnancy sessions will demonstrate better pregnancy and child-related outcomes. Our approach for integrating young fathers in Project Passport is based on our previous work with young fathers and young men in the community. And we have developed a comprehensive community approach to recruiting and supporting young men and fathers. And this includes two main components: outreach strategies, visiting sites that men use, such as barbershops, parks, bus stations, and college campuses, and in-reach strategies, encouraging females who come to receive services to refer young refer their partners, and also relying on referrals from the community. So that approach that we have developed assisted us to have the following results. 2,000 males receive family planning services annually. Nationwide, we talk about 6% of clients in family planning services are males. We were able to get to 18, 19, 20%. So we were very successful in increasing in a meaningful way participation of males in family planning clinic. The age range, because we really target adolescents, the age range from 16 to 34, although we target adolescents, we will see partners for treatment of STIs, sexual transmitted infections, regardless of their age. Their mean age is almost 21, 30% are Latino, 70% African American, 55% are employed, and about 25 or 400 are fathers. 40 fathers also participated in Project Bootstrap and received a one-time $1,100 stipend to pursue educational opportunities. Originally, this project was funded by the Office of Attorney General in order to assist young fathers develop skills so they can become self-sufficient and support their children. The age range of those fathers, you know, was 17 to 25 with a mean of 20. 35% were Latino, 65% were African American, and they were not employed at entry to the program. We were also able to engage 404 young fathers in a fatherhood program, and their age range was 13 to 33 with a mean of 20. 34% were Latino, 66% were African American, and 32% reported being employed. 122 males also attended a previous center in pregnancy program that also was funded by the Office of Attorney General, and their age range was 16 to 34 with a mean of almost 21, 50% were Latino, 50% were African American, and 50% were employed. So when we got ready to develop the male component for Project Passport, our new AFL project, we wanted to obtain some input from participants who were part of a previous center in pregnancy program. So 13 males from that program participated in four focus groups and provided us with information that we then used to make modifications to make sure that our program is addressing the needs of those young fathers. And what they told us, that the presence of a male facilitator is extremely important in helping them really get connected and come to those sessions. They also talked about the importance of incentives and how they use incentives to buy needed baby items. They valued the education on contraceptives. They indicated that usually young men lack information about contraceptives. The education they were able to receive helped them to be more involved in making decision about contraceptive use following delivery. And of course, they really valued the opportunity to get information on resources that, you know, were available to them. So just to share with you some of our preliminary results of Project Passport. So we have, after year one, we definitely have more clients now, but at the completion of year one, we had enrolled 132 pregnant females, 64 in enhanced care, and 68 in standard mother care, and 35 fathers or expectant fathers participated in centering pregnancy. 55% of partners, which is a little lower than what we expected of 60%, but we are still working very hard to increase participation. So what have we learned, you know, working, you know, with men and fathers for that period of time? That, you know, using diverse approaches for recruitment, in-reach and outreach is essential to be successful. Training staff on the importance of integrating males will also ensure buy-in. Entities such as ours have traditionally focused on females only, so the idea of serving males is just really not something that they were used to. So educating and emphasizing the importance of male-friendly services is essential. Also, utilizing a holistic approach in assessing the needs of males and referring them to services is extremely important, because many of them lack resources and very marginalized education and employment opportunity. We also learned that engaging the community, including businesses, is essential. We have created a male empowerment coalition. We meet regularly and we develop various strategies to increase male participation in various programs, and just reach out and educate them about the importance of them taking care of themselves. Also, creating opportunities for employment mobility is important. Our project Bootstrap was initially funded by the Office of Attorney General, but funding ended, and we were able to secure some funding from someone who is just in the community, a private person who liked the idea, listened to some stories about successes from previous program, and she just wrote us a check. So engaging the community and various people, I mean, you know, she is a businesswoman, so businesses can definitely help you. We also have a new project with the Office of Attorney General, and it's about asset building, and young or expectant fathers are able to save money. That money will be matched, and they will be able to use that money to pursue higher education, buy a home, or start a new business. But in last, you know, but of course not least, you know, it's all about creating a safe and nurturing place where males can learn new skills. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much, Dr. Boozy, and thank you to all of our panelists. I'm so proud of the diversity of programs that we have in our larger AFL program. If everyone could join me at the front here, the five panelists, for questions. And just so the audience members know, I've already uploaded all of the slides into one PDF on the APHA website, so you can download them there to look them further. And if you have a question, if you could please identify which speaker you're asking it to, that would be really helpful. So do we have any questions to get us started? Is everyone burnt out from questions? Yes, please.
We all have male facilitators.
Right. Yeah, they learned that lesson.
Yeah, early on. Actually, when we work with couples, we have both a male and a female working with a couple. Sure.
Yes.
Study, But a lot of it is just, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. It's a lot of phone calls, a lot of outreach, and there's no real secrets except to just stay engaged, use mails. It's variables. There's really no secret recipe. It's just a lot of work.
Yes, in the back.
I'm aware of a lot of the father initiatives in the Early Head Start program, and wondering whether your office and that federal office are collaborating on any of this research.
No, this is solely funded by our office, adolescent and pregnancy programs, but that is a future direction that we're always looking to collaborate in the future.
Do you know if they're looking at outcomes that are similar, or whether your curriculum that you're testing it just seems there's a lot of opportunity for intergovernmental collaboration.
Yeah, I don't know much about their program, but clearly there is a lot of opportunity to collaborate, and that's the direction, again, we hope to go in the future as resources become less. Is there another question up front here?
I just have a big picture question. I mean, you guys are very focused on enrolling people who are pregnant. Do you ever see that going further back to sort of teaching general adolescents some of these skills at a large scale? I mean, obviously what you're doing is very intensive, and it's not for the general population, but do you think there is a role for that sort of, thinking of it, and you're at the tip of the iceberg,
it's
also treating the middle of it.
I think there really is. Our nurse and our parenting program has become a really, our parenting program is embedded within a very large primary care practice. And she's become an adolescent expert for all things, any time of day or whatever that related to adolescent issues. But she's developed a cohort of very young adolescent couples, some very